and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like the little dip I am. Here I am in my Tuesday uniform, my boogity cheese t-shirt.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, that gives us
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. Sweetness.
Tuesday. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm a little, Okay.
Oh.
First of all, congratulations to Aisha Tyler, who just got a big TV job.
I got a job on a television show, and now no more sleeping in doorways and eating cold noodles
and eating used food.
Used food.
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain brand used food. So I'm going to be on the show called The Talk on CBS.
On CBS.
Yes. Check your local listings. I have no idea what time it comes on. Anywhere.
Yeah. It airs different,
different times in different places.
It's live on the East Coast.
So the part is no more Tuesdays with Tyler in studio, but she's going to call in and...
Yes.
We're hoping we're going to have some sexy liberal news at some point. She'll be rejoining the sexy liberal tour at some point.
I cannot wait. Whether I'm rejoining the sexy liberal tour as a performer or whether I will be sweeping up afterwards and picking up all of the thongs that are thrown at you at the end of the show.
Yes.
One or the other. But but I will definitely still be a part of the sexy liberal family.
Yes.
Call in.
And we're going to have you guest by phone, but time is early in the morning here.
My call time is essentially in a few minutes.
I know. She came in anyway.
I hope the studio is somewhere close by.
It is close by.
Okay, good.
By. Yes,
good.
It is. It's one
she
of the
came
many.
In anyway.
Yay.
I'm glad to see you guys. It happened very quickly.
I know.
I went to bed and I didn't have a job, and then I woke up and I had a job. I was like, where are you taking me? Why is a sack over my head?
So, it was like in Borat. They put a sack over her.
Just dragged
now,
me away.
Who else is on the show?
So the show hosts are Julie Chen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The lovely Sharon Osbourne. I met Ozzy Osbourne yesterday, so you could all lick it.
No
way.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
And we will lick
great.
It.
Thank you.
Whatever you'd like.
She's like, don't threaten me with a good time.
Okay. Anyone would turn that down for Aisha Tyler? No.
And so Sharon Osbourne, Julie Chen, Sarah Gilbert.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, wonderful person.
From Roseanne.
Right.
Not the one from Little House.
And she's in charge of the thing, isn't she?
Well, she's one of the executive producers.
Right,
yeah.
Sarah Gilbert.
One of the kind of first people to be a part of putting the show together. And then they added two new people this season. Cheryl Underwood, who's a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, she's been touring for years, and I've known her for a long time. And then me.
And Aisha Tyler!
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I were in charge,
my first day.
If I were in charge of show business, you would be in everything, everywhere.
You're
the
greatest. You and my mom. My mom was always like, should I just call the Steven Spielberg on the phone? I think if I just talked to him, I could just explain how talented
you
are.
That's how this happened. Tuesdays with Tyler, we got booked on the Larry King show together one night,
mm-hmm.
and where we bitch slapped the bejesus out of some poor right wing guy that had the misfortune to be seated between us.
He was sweaty. He literally had a flop sweat going.
Oh yeah, he was sweating.
Like, surrounded.
Anyway, and what did I do, Chris? I came back. I'm like, oh my God, Aisha Tyler's so smart and so funny.
Yeah.
And so beautiful. She does her own makeup. And can we get her on the show?
Mainly because we don't have to pay for her makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a cheap date. Can we get her?
Really cheap. Come with my own sandwich.
Anyway, and then we fell in love in a totally non-gay way.
Yes.
And anyway, but you're still going to guest on the show. Call
in.
I am
going to miss it. Like Jeff and I were talking about it last night. He was like, oh, this is going to be sad. I said, well, no, it's been so much fun.
It's
been such a fun time. But I'm not going away. I'm just going over there.
Well, now you're my BFF, and now you and Jeff come to my house and stuff. So there's no escaping me.
Her palace of doom. She has a really beautiful house, and she lives with two giant horses.
Yes.
My doggies. So. And I just hooked her in again because I brought Brussels sprouts, and it's her favorite. I'm like, oh, we're coming over now for Brussels sprouts.
And I make really good ones. The most exciting invite anyone ever wants to get is, oh, would you like to come over to my house for Brussels sprouts? That's a date. That'll get you laid.
Yeah, listen.
Want to come over?
Who knew that was going to be a pickup line?
Check out my fish tank and have some Brussels sprouts.
Sit on hot husband.
Sit on my futon.
Gotta be a euphemism for something.
Something, right?
Yeah.
Sit on my futon, watch some general broadcast programming. I don't have pay cable.
Here's how hot her husband is. Lisa and I, you know. Gays.
Yeah.
We just like talk for an hour after that. My guy's hot. He's hot. We were like junior high straight girls. My guy's so hot, right? And my guy's so nice.
He's a handsome fellow. Yes, if only we were, if only we weren't too lazy to procreate. I mean, we practice, we try, we just don't actually, we don't pull all the way through.
And then in the meantime, we are checking sexy liberal schedules, yeah. Hal and Aisha.
Sexy liberal
John.
Magic is going to happen.
Yes, and there is going to be some sexy liberal announcements.
Sexy liberal magic.
We're going to your hometown this weekend. Mike and Raleigh is giving
so
us a
exciting.
Little. Oh, here we go. Mike and Raleigh gave us a little sexy liberalness in San Francisco. Mike and Raleigh. Cute.
Your fans should get together and, like, start some kind of Glee-like show.
Yes.
Oh, that's such an awesome idea.
They're all so talented. It's amazing.
I know. Anyway, but so, yeah, we will say hi to your hometown folk this weekend, and we will miss you.
I'm really going to miss you guys. You're going to my city, my favorite city.
I know it. At the Orpheum, by the way. Very exciting.
Fancy.
Only a few tickets left for Saturday. Go to sexyliberal.com. Oh, and Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Still some awesome pictures up of Aisha in her Boogity Cheese t-shirt.
That's right.
Which
yes.
I'm currently wearing, you
stream. She's rocking it very hard. She looks, it's a good look. It's a very good look, the Boogity Cheese shirt.
See, you weren't as big a geek this week. Because usually we both wear them, just like Catholic
school. There has been a twin day, which was very fun last night. That was really nice. I was like, is it Spirit Day? Oh, my God, you guys. I didn't know.
Yeah, I can't believe we know you and work with you. And we're still just as big a geeks as the day we met you.
I know.
I'm as much of a fan of yours as you are of mine. I got to find my like, it shouldn't be Stephanie Miller Show. It should just be like a picture of Stephanie Pissot Chris just on like their head.
Yeah.
Like their little, like, you know, disembodied heads floating on each,
so now,
on each boob.
Speaking of big names, in Burbank. This morning, the president is going to be across the street taping.
I may not make it to work, actually.
I will be able to see the president from right here. He's going to do the Tonight Show, right?
Yeah. He's supposed to be taping it today at 9:30 Pacific.
There you go.
That's not when they normally tape.
No,
is
that isn't. I'm sure they move some things around to get the president.
You think?
A few things.
For
the POTUS.
Push it up a little bit. We can't do the president that time. We have a cooking demonstration.
Yes, Paris Hilton's coming in to unveil her 14th fragrance.
We have a Kardashian.
Paula Deen's going to be cooking or something.
Desperation. Yeah.
We have a Kardashian
bacon.
Can the president do later?
Oh my God.
He did go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles yesterday.
Oh, did he really?
Yes,
he
dropped
did. In. Unannounced.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris said I may have a little trouble getting out of here today. Might be a little bit of security.
You might? Yeah, a little bit. Just guys standing on the street. I always feel safer when those guys are around, though. I went to the DNC and, you know, in that huge stadium, whatever, it's even Mile High now. It's called, I don't know, like, some corporate name here. And those snipers are like, you're sitting there, you're like, I think I see a person up there. And there's just a guy looking at you specifically. You can just see his big eyeball at the end of his binocular. He's got a binocular in one hand and a gun in the other. So no one is going to break into your car today, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, this has been a good time for us happy clappy Obama supporters, hasn't it?
It has.
It's like one thing after another. People are like, oh, he's, listen, he did the wrong thing in Libya. Never mind. Gaddafi's dead.
Yeah, exactly. What's happening in Egypt? Oh, wait, that guy's out.
Which he broke his promise about Iraq. Okay, we're out. All right. Well, and meanwhile, the Republican field, I don't know what to say.
I was thinking about that on the way here in the car. I was like really meditating on that. And I was like, it's like the little rascals without all the charm. Do you know what I mean? Just like just running around and banging into each other.
Yes.
And they're just a hot mess.
Yeah.
I mean, we shouldn't relax, but they
that's a good slogan.
Yeah.
Republicans 2012. We're a hot mess.
Yes. Hot.
Yes. Michelle Bachmann's entire New Hampshire campaign staff has quit.
Oh.
As we speak. And she didn't. And she said that was untrue. And just some, you know, liberal media myth.
Liberal media myth. Yes.
Until she was informed that in fact it was true.
Whoops.
They were no longer in CASA.
You know why they quit? Because of that jacket she wore in the last debate.
Exactly. What was that all about?
Sorry, Captain Steubing. We're leaving the Lido deck. That was not okay.
See, I pictured Marcus just like, you know, they're not taking you seriously as commander-in-chief.
I think we need
put on this little military outfit and march out there.
Gravitas. Something with gravitas. Yeah. I say buttons that have anchors on them.
I think the new severe hairdo is killing him, but he wants her to be taken seriously. I hate this.
It doesn't soften any of your lines.
I like the pageant hair, but
And the lashes get bigger as she goes down in the polls. You know what I mean?
Just like
she's down in a single
digits. Awnings.
She's got two cockapoos just sitting there. Blinking. She's
like
a mess.
Pterodactyl wings now.
Anderson's hair is being blown back.
She's liable to blow Ron Paul right off the stage at the next. In his giant cartoon suit.
How mad was Anderson that Rush Limbaugh had the same hairstyle? Not Rush Limbaugh. I mean, the other one, Newt Gingrich. I get them mixed up.
I know.
The same guy.
I understand.
Oh, and just, you know, tubby and tubbier.
Yeah, and now Karl Rove has, did you see he came out with this little chalkboard to show how Herman Cain, you know, everything that he screwed up on? I think now they've had enough of the black guy. Now they're like,
it was only a matter of time.
All right, we were just,
it
you know, with the liberals.
For a while
okay,
when
now,
you were charming
and
irrelevant, but now that this might actually happen, you know, we want, yes.
He took out his trademark whiteboard. Coincidence? Don't think so.
I'm sorry. Stephanie, the word is Caucasian. Please,
pardon
let's
me.
Not.
He was ticking through
board.
Six moments in which Cain has demonstrated an embarrassing lack of understanding about key issues. The whole effect of this is not to create an image, I think, of him being a foot bopper. I think it's to create an image of him as not being up to the task, and that's really deadly for a presidential campaign.
But, I mean, it's amazing when they are eviscerating their own front runners. You know what I mean? They're
right.
Like, even we don't think we have it. We're like, we don't have a quarterback or a tight end. This linebacker has a tummy ache. So we got one guy who might make it, but we're gonna kick him in the leg, give him a hematoma. We're just gonna knock ourselves out of the running.
Yeah, exactly. It's just time we sit back in the hammock.
Yeah. We're just gonna relax, see what happens, let them all run into each other.
Wait for the angry gay hate sex between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry at the next debate.
That was just, right? That was
no touching. Touching in debates.
No, it was literally a slap fight. Like, it was like a girl slap fight.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
You know
neither
I mean?
Of them can fight. You could
no.
tell it would just be like...
70-70. It's just hair pulling.
Tussling and headlocks. And stop it. Quit it. Anderson, he's touching me.
That's my wallet. That's my wallet. You're touching my wallet. That's not my wallet now. That isn't my wallet. You put that down. Don't touch that.
Like, no one would land a punch. They'd just be all sweaty and red-faced and perfect hair messed up.
It was pretty. It was remarkably unpresidential. I mean,
awesome.
If they could outdo themselves, they did.
Awesome.
With their unpresidentialness.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Tuesdays with Tyler.
Don't be sad.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, 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 it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay.
Tuesdays with Tyler for how many more minutes? Five.
Six.
All right.
Yeah.
But then she's going to call in, and she's going to join Sexy Liberal at some point, and we're very excited. She is off to, is this your first day?
Yesterday was my first day.
Oh, yesterday. It's her
first
day.
Yesterday was my first day. Yeah.
She is one of the new co-hosts of the talk on CBS. Check your local listings.
And I'm still going to be doing, I'll still be doing, obviously, Archer and my podcast, because those I can do anytime. But unfortunately, these two things, that show and this show happen at the same time.
Well, because they have the audacity to tape while we're on the air.
Outrageous.
Don't they know who I used to be?
Don't they know who you are and will continue to be, juggernaut of hilarity and doom?
Yes, whatever. Because we were saying this year is only going to get more and more entertaining.
It's going to be an interesting. When's our next debate? Do we have any more debates yet?
When is the next debate? My only entertainment these days.
Right?
Frequent. I usually find these things out like the day before, just because they're so frequent. I don't think they announce them too far in advance.
It's true. Well, they're having so many of them. It's exciting. It's like, oh, it's Real Housewives of Nevada County. fighting and screaming.
Like, for instance, this is one of my personal favorites. Give me Michelle Bachmann talking about, so when she repeals health care for 32 million Americans when she's president.
She's great. She's got a heart.
Yeah.
We will always have people in this country through hardship, through no fault of their own, who won't be able to afford health care. That's just the way it is. But usually what we've had are charitable organizations or hospitals who have enough left over so that they can pick up the cost for the indigent who can't afford it. But what we have to do is we have to be a profitable nation that's growing so that we can pay for those people who can't afford it through no fault of their own. Once Obamacare is gone, this is what we have to do.
Yeah, you're going to, charitable organizations will take up the slack.
Yeah.
She's spectacularly dumb. Wow. She just said, we're going to repeal government, this kind of, not really government imposed health, backed health care plan, but this health care plan that's intended to cover more people through a combination of, you know, compelling people to buy insurance, the same way that you're compelled to buy car insurance for your car. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing outrageous, it's nothing new. And that magically the hospitals will have enough left over. How does she think that the hospitals get money to pay for the indigent now? Where does she think that money comes
from? Well, you're going to go to the Salvation Army for your bypass.
Well, all right.
Get that Santa suit off and get a surgeon's scrub on.
I'm down to the mission to have my liver removed. The money that is used to pay for the indigent comes from the government.
Yeah.
And the little bit that's not coming from the government is coming from your astronomical health care premiums that you pay now because we don't have universal health care. She's dumb.
So her whole New Hampshire staff that just quit affirmed their departure called Bachman's national campaign rude, unprofessional, dishonest, and at times cruel.
Oh dear.
And that's her own staff.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Not that they wouldn't say worse about me if they were interviewed, but my point is I'm not running for anything.
I don't know that they would say cruel.
Well, have you ever had a stapler thrown at your head?
Thank God now she has Siri to fire you.
Yes.
Siri won't.
Siri refuses to fire me.
Yeah, because she knows how valuable you are to this team.
Aw.
She sees your...
She's just passive-aggressive.
Invaluable. Your
she just plays dumb.
Cannot be replaced.
I don't know what you mean by fire, Chris Labatt.
Labatt.
Yeah.
Is it a different last name every day?
What was her excuse yesterday? Searching internet for fire Chris Labatt.
Yeah.
What do you have to search the internet for? Just do it.
I think it pronounces my name in the French fashion. Lavoie.
Lavoie. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Chris Labatt.
So I was on vacation. I was on a very brief vacation this week with my friends in Seattle. And everybody was so excited. So they were just playing with Siri and passing it around. That sounds more dirty than it is now that I say it out loud. But and the big question, the question we kept asking her was, I'm drunk. She says to you, there are 19 taxis in your area. Would you like me to call one? She's really thoughtful.
Yeah.
She's very sweet.
Yeah.
She's good. She's very, respectful of Chris's job, concerned about your drunk driving.
Unlike Michelle Bachman's staff, Siri cares. Maybe they just need to replace her staff with a bunch of Siris. And they'd be like, thanks for calling the Michelle Bachman campaign. We are kind, thoughtful, and worried about your physical safety.
Exactly.
But we will not fire Chris Labatt.
Labatt. We will not do it. Stop calling Biatch. All right. Yeah, it looks like Herman Cain might be about done. Did you see his flip-flop on abortion?
God, it's so rapid, though.
That was pretzel twisting. Well, it should be up to the family. There should be their choice. What did I say? What? No, that's not what I said.
No, choice.
It should be illegal.
It should be illegal. You should be able to choose that it's illegal. You should be able to just have the baby. and then the churches and the missions will and the hospitals will use their extra leftover money. Their leftover money to take
I'm
care of your baby.
I'm feeling desperate and grabby already. Aisha Tyler off to film The Talk on CBS, her new full-time job. She'll be calling in. She will be joining Sexy Liberal at some point.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to miss you live in studio on Tuesdays.
Oh, no.
I don't Siri, make Aisha Tyler stay.
I do not understand what you mean by... There are 19 taxis in your neighborhood.
AishaTyler.com. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Must be humbling to suck on so many different levels.
You don't know the half of it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up.
Yep.
And, Susan Saladoff of the new, a documentary called Hot Coffee Awesome.
Yeah.
About tort reform, et cetera. It's fascinating stuff, actually. All right. Oh, frequent emailer, Peter in Libertyville. Just want to celebrate that 35 years ago I met a co-ed named Peggy. 30 years of marriage and one Sexy Liberal show later. Love you. Peggy.
Aww.
Hourly sponsor. Hi, kids. All right. So lots to get to on the big show. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Okay. Oh, must we?
What?
Dear God. Didn't we all just get stupider even before I said Brian Kilmeade?
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. How about Iraq?
President Obama declared that all U.S. troops will be out of Iraq by year's end. But after failed negotiations with the Iraqi government to leave some military behind, will this mean all our accomplishments could potentially be erased?
Sure.
4,549 Americans have been killed in Iraq. could, if this goes afoul, could their lives be wasted?
Oh, wow. It's that old argument.
Yeah.
Yes, more Americans must die before the ones that have already have died there in this unnecessary illegal war. I see. Then their sacrifice will mean nothing if we don't have more people die.
Right.
Wow. All our accomplishments? You mean like the accomplishment of the illegal war based on a bunch of lies?
The accomplishment of finding so many weapons of mass destruction?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I see.
Then that, all that'll go to waste, the glorious victory that was Iraq. Okay. Wow. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, he's a, you know, he's one of those, their Fox perts on the Fox News on Iraq.
It was tragic, and it wasn't really our decision. In a sense, we're being booted out, not so much by the Iraqis as by Iran. We should no mistake, Iran won. This is a Super Bowl. Iraq really matters. But Obama made a campaign promise. The leftists had a blind spot about Iraq's importance because it was Bush's war. Therefore, it was a bad war.
Yes.
And Iraq matters. Afghanistan doesn't. Iraq has the oil. It has a strategic location, location, location.
Oil. Iraq has the oil.
Wow.
Lieutenant
Colonel. I see. So we have to stay in Iraq forever now
because of
Iran.
Yeah.
Because of Iran. So that's the new, that 16 strategies later for Iraq. That's why we need to be in Iraq now. Because Iran's, I see. Wow. Did you see Donald Trump said we should have taken Libya's oil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. See, this is the new breed of Republican. They're just saying it. Like, remember you weren't supposed to say oil war? It was like the oil can.
Oil
it was like
war.
That. You're not. They just only said it under their breath.
Yeah.
Like Tin Man. Oil war. But see, now they're just saying it right out loud. Donald Trump is like, we should have taken their oil. What? What would we have? How would we have justified that?
That wouldn't have engendered too much goodwill in the Middle East or in Northern Africa.
Oh, boy. Okay. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph.
Okay. All right, thanks. Karl Rove on Fox News. Here he is, teabagging Herman Cain.
Cain has had a number of misstatements. I mean, we've had abortion. Mm-hmm. He recently said he didn't understand what neoconservatives were when it came to foreign policy. The federal sales tax, the way he handled it in the debate, apples and oranges, and, you know, it is a federal sales tax, and he just simply wouldn't acknowledge it. And the whole effect of this is to not create an image, I think, of him as being a flip-flopper. I think it is to create an image of him as not being up to this task.
Oh, God. Can I take a few weeks off? Can I just lay in the hammock? And I'm, you know, this is a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
So, and then, Herman Cain fired back.
Oh?
He says, if I become the nominee, right.
Whatever.
He said that he's given the Democrats talking points for a commercial to attack me. Karl Rove was asked for a response. He said Herman Cain is the one giving the Democrats material for the attack ads.
Well,
my God. Kids, have at it. I will be here in the hammock. This is just awesome.
Now,
he said it's a good thing the voters are not looking at Karl Rove's little white board. I believe it's a deliberate attempt to damage me because I'm not, quote unquote, the establishment choice. Yes, and you're also, quote unquote, not qualified. So, you know what? Kids, don't fight. You're both pretty, both of you. You're both pretty and wrong.
I wouldn't call him pretty.
But he's right. He listed the perfect points.
And that's what the Democrats will use in campaign ads against him.
It's like Aisha just said, they're just taking down one after another of their own.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so much fun.
All right. Steve Ducey of Ducey and Ducier.
The President of the United States is going to be moving on to Nevada and to California as well. He's got he's going to do a West Coast tour. Last week, that was not campaigning on that bus thing. That was not campaigning. This week, it is campaigning. Yeah. If Antonio Banderas, who's going to host one of these events, is watching, you know, it sounds like the president doesn't care for rich people. He's effectively launched a class warfare against people who make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's what Fox would like you to believe.
Well, they're panicked because, as we said yesterday, they've done internal polling, and that message is wildly popular. So, of course, they'd like the president to stop.
Right.
And by the way, I love the whole thing that he's not allowed to campaign in the campaign year. That's not fair. He's campaigning. Britt Hume on the Brit Bear.
This president is so vulnerable and so likely to lose that they can nominate just about anybody they want, short of possibly Ron Paul, and they'll win the election.
Awesome.
So why not go for the most conservative candidate you can find?
Good.
All right, then.
I would go with lunatic right fringe. Why not?
Go with Ron Paul. Mm. Take a chance.
Mm. Yeah, do it. Come on.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Giant cartoon suit. All right. Oof. Yeah, by the way, I thought I was the only one that noticed that, and you know, with Herman Cain on Meet the Press. He literally, that's the thing. You get so much attention to how crazy and dumb, Michelle Bachman is.
Right.
I don't think Herman Cain has got enough attention for that. He clearly didn't. Carl Rove was right. He did not know what a neocon was.
No.
He didn't know what the right of return was. He clearly just...
And that flip-flop within one paragraph on Piers Morgan, on his views on abortion, I mean, that was stunning. That looked like a brain-related event kind of thing.
Well, and that's not to leave out his flip-flop on supporting a constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Let's not leave out all the flip-flopping and all the... Yeah, he has shifted his... That's the thing. Again, Mitt Romney getting all the attention for being a flip-flopper. When Herman Cain, just as big a flip-flopper.
Yeah.
He has shifted his position on same-sex marriage just several days after coming under criticism from social conservatives, especially Rick Santorum, Google it, for not adequately opposing access to abortion services in an interview with Christian Broadcasting Network. See, it just depends on where he is.
Yeah.
He pledged to sign a federal constitutional amendment outlawing abortion, something a president actually can't do.
Right.
And also backed an amendment to prohibit same-sex marriage. The new position represents another change for Cain, who had supported a federal marriage amendment during his failed race for the U.S. Senate in 2004. But on Meet the Press as recently as last Sunday, he said the question was best left to the states. See, now because Rick Santorum issued a statement characterizing marriage equality as a moral wrong akin to slavery. Yeah, he has now he's moved to the right. And by the way, he didn't object to that either. He didn't object to comparing Herman Cain. That was fine.
Marriage equality is
giving gay people equal rights is just as bad
as slavery.
As taking away all of black people's rights and enslaving them. It's exactly the same thing.
That's quite a leap.
All right, yeah, let's listen to the Herman Cain on the abortion question. Here we go. Herman Cain.
Find a perfect candidate or a perfect person who will not, at points in time in a presidential campaign, not make a misstatement, and I'll show you somebody that was hung on the cross 2,000 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Whoa!
So now he's Jesus?
He's compared himself to Jesus.
Now he's Jesus. He's not just...
Wow!
Because when he's not playing the race card, he's a victim because he's a black guy.
Right.
Now he's a victim because he's Jesus, clearly. That's how much a victim he is. And that's Rick Perry's shtick. Rick Perry's wife says he's the victim of all this anti-Christian stuff. Oh, they're just... I thought that, you know...
Jesus, Cain.
I don't understand. I thought that... I thought we were the party of victimhood. What? They're all such victims. All right.
That takes huevos to compare yourself to Jesus.
Wow! Rick Perry on the abortion question in her...
It is a liberal canard to say, I am personally pro-life, but government should stay out of that decision. If that is your view, you are not pro-life. You are pro having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah, he's right.
as he ate Herman Cain's lunch on that one, Rick Santorum.
You can't be pro-life and then say people have a choice to do whatever they want.
You're right, Rick Santorum. Wow. I'm agreeing too many Republicans.
Yeah, and Michelle Bachman.
President Obama also believes that the government should not intervene when it comes to the issue of abortion. I believe that the government must intervene.
Okay. Wow. So, Herman Cain, and I love my favorite part is him yelling at the interviewer that had the audacity to point out the contradiction that he was expressing right in front of him. There you go again. That's apples and oranges. I don't. All right. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Luke.
Hello.
I'm thinking about the Bachman's discussion of gay marriage as slavery. Did you ever hear of that?
No, that was Santorum. Credit's due. Yeah.
Well, my point is still valid. Did you ever hear of that little thing called rejection?
You're projecting much. Yeah, I know.
Keep your problems to yourself, pal.
Yeah, exactly. Google it. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Hi, why not? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tracy in L.A. Hey, Trace.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good morning. Great show Saturday. High five.
Oh, high five, sister. Yay. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I find it absolutely laughable that they sit here and talk about pro-life. You want to be pro-life, but then you want to give a woman a choice. Well, you know what? God gives every one of us a free will. So we always have the choice to make our own decisions, and he never takes that away. You can do the right thing or not.
Yeah.
But you always have the choice. So which is it with them?
Well, you know, Teresa, that's the thing
they
that,
really,
yeah.
If they really cared about abortion, we wouldn't have abortion anymore.
Right.
It's always one of their, you know, issues when it's election time.
Right. Yeah. No, I've heard people say that over and over, that they're never going to actually outlaw because that's their campaign issue. But, you know,
absolutely.
The thing that I never hear them, you know, their feet held to the fire on is, how can you say you're small government and you hate government and get government out of people's lives? How can this possibly be consistent with this?
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell even Herman Cain betrayed how, you know, oh, well, it's, he used the word choice like twice.
He's totally confused.
Yeah.
He's, oh, my God, which is it?
And didn't you love it's the family's choice? What, is the whole family knocked up? What do you think
right,
it's the family's choice?
Yeah. You're nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Trace. I'm sorry, you were saying...
Well, no, he was just trying to get buzzwords in there. You know, he confused his small government party.
He got libertarian dust on his...
Exactly.
Iowa.
Yeah, and he knew he had to get the word family. He knew he had to get the word family in there because that's a buzzword for the right.
Yeah.
And so that's why he said it's the family's choice to get an abortion.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know what I just saw? We'll get to this later, but the American Family Association.
Oh boy.
Taking time off from trying to protect children from sweaty balls ice cream.
Yes. and fending off prank phone calls
yeah.
from you.
You know what they're well, yes, I did. I left the word sweaty balls several times on there. Several times on their, what do you call it?
Voicemail.
Their voicemail on Friday.
Yep.
Well, they also, because they were also upset about Hubby Hubby, which mm-hmm. was their marriage equality version
right.
of a Chubby Hubby ice cream.
Right.
So, anyway, but they're apparently now, guess who they're attacking?
Who?
Trevor Project.
Why?
Because they're, you know, which is the name, we just gave funds,
right.
some of the proceeds of Sexy Liberal Saturday, Friday and Saturday in L.A. went to Trevor, which is the nation's only 24-hour suicide hotline for gay and lesbian kids.
Right.
And so they accused them of... they're recruiting kids to be gay. That's why
they're trying to prevent kids from
yeah,
killing themselves.
They're attacking Trevor for, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
They're
these
recruiting
people
teenagers.
Are evil.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the new poll shows most Americans agree with Occupy. Occupy movement's dim view of Wall Street. A CNN poll released Monday shows the vast majority of those surveyed think Wall Street is filled with greedy, overpaid, and dishonest bankers. Oh, dear. 80% would characterize those working on Wall Street as greedy, 77% say they're paid too much, and 65% think they're dishonest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing that I hate is when we pretend this financial thing happened by accident, that they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting. While many of them share the demonstrators' views, just 32% of those surveyed told pollsters they have a favorable opinion of the movement, 29% say they hold an unfavorable view. And again, part of that I blame, just 24/7 Fox News, you know, right-wing radio, mm-hmm. Because they try to cast, a lot of people haven't, first of all, a lot of people haven't heard of it yet. 26% say they've never heard of it.
Right.
And then a lot of them, what they have heard is, oh, they're dirty hippies that hate capitalism or
whatever.
Yeah. 54% say they absolutely do not trust Wall Street bankers and brokers to do what's best for the economy. Just 3% of the told pollsters they trust Wall Street a great deal. So, you know, this is the problem, is if you ask people the issues, they agree with everything the Occupy Wall Street movement is behind. The problem is some people are still just listening to other people's characterizations
yeah.
of what it is. All right, the president talking about jobs and the economy. Yesterday.
Things are tough right now, but I want everybody to remember what we have accomplished. What we've accomplished because of you. As tough as things are right now, we were able to stabilize this economy and make sure it didn't go into a Great Depression.
Yeah, number one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, President mm-hmm. Obama.
Yeah, by the way, have you seen what he's doing now? He has unveiled a stopgap plan to ease the bite of a real estate crisis for cash-strapped homeowners. He's trying to bypass Congress.
And it's through an executive order, which I think is very, very smart.
Yeah, he said these steps aren't a substitute for the bold action. We need to create jobs and grow the economy, but they will make a difference. You know, because Republicans, as usual, thwarting him at every step on the jobs bill, on every part of the jobs bill so far. Obama has shifted to tactics by looking for actions he can take without congressional approval. So he said, I'm here to say to all of you that we can't wait for an increasingly dysfunctional Congress to do its job. Where they won't act, I will. And again, it's not everything that could be done, but he's trying to do something at least.
Right.
He said nationwide, more than 10 million homeowners are underwater. That, you know, meaning they owe more than their houses are worth. Here he did. He said he was in Vegas. He said in Vegas, the city hit hardest of all. Almost the entire housing market is under severe stress. He acknowledged, however, the housing market won't be fully healed until the unemployment rate comes down and the inventory of homes on the market comes down, which is exactly why the Republicans are blocking everything, because they don't want the unemployment rate to come down before the election.
Right.
That is no excuse for inaction, he said. That's no excuse for just saying no to Americans who need help right now. There's no excuse for the games and gridlock we've been seeing in Washington. He talked about
that. If you meet certain requirements, you will have the chance to refinance at lower rates, which could save you hundreds of dollars a month and thousands of dollars a year on mortgage payments.
And then this is the part about this dysfunctional Congress.
We can't wait for an increasingly dysfunctional Congress to do its job. Where they won't act, I will. The barrier will be lifted that prohibits responsible homeowners from refinancing if their home values have fallen so low that what they owe on their mortgage is 25% higher than the current value of their home.
So, you know, at least he's trying to think of some real stuff to help real people.
Yep.
The Republicans, it literally is just, every talking point, though, it's like it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do we help the rich? How do we help the 1%? The president yesterday.
We can't wait. Consumers save money. Those families save money. And it gets those families spending it again.
And the Republicans have not offered up one single solution.
Oh, they have. They have a jobs plan that the Moody's Analytics says will send the country back into a recession further. So they're trying to help.
They haven't offered up anything good.
Mitch McLiplis, yeah.
These bills are designed on purpose not to pass. I mean, the president is deliberately trying to create an issue.
The president is deliberately trying to, you know, have a jobs bill that will get people, you know, jobs, and that's not...
And improve our infrastructure that's crumbling.
Yes, he's trying to create an issue. He's trying to create an issue that will help you pass a bill that will actually get people jobs. Oh, McLiplis. All right, here's the good news. The headline is Tea Party Hoopla Fades on the Hill.
Good.
I'm telling you, you know, there's always this line of political wisdom. I tell you, between Occupy Wall Street, and this is what we always said, the media made a much bigger deal of the Tea Party than it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of the Capitol, efforts by conservative lawmakers to harness the energy of the right-wing movement into an organized group on Capitol Hill have gone dormant.
Yeah.
Illinois Senator Mark Kirk, freshman Republican, said there was a lack of enthusiasm in the Senate's 47-member GOP conference for organizing a Tea Party caucus. I mean, I'm telling you, this whole thing might be done by the time the election actually rolls around. On the House side, the Tea Party caucus has been similarly quiet. The last meeting of the 60-member group occurred in early June. The group, of course, was launched by Michelle Bachmann.
Right.
To ensure the voices of the people are carried through the halls of Congress, but, quote-unquote, the people haven't been able to communicate much with this group since Bachmann has turned her attention to losing the nomination for president, which has become much more important. Oh. You know, it's all about me over there.
Especially with Michelle Bachmann, it's all about me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we've got Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up, the director and producer of Hot Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing new documentary, much more, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha, it is the Stephanie. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Voice deity Jim Ward, executive producer Crystal Boyer, or me, Stephanie Miller. Do it. Get it. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. And there's some fabulous pictures up of Crystal Boyer and Jim Ward and Rebecca Taylor from the, what do you call it, Sexy Liberal Show in L.A. this weekend.
We had a lot of fun this weekend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of Roy jokes about you, so I'm not the only one making them.
Hemorrhoids?
Don't make me mad.
No, steroids.
Don't get all
Roy
Rangy.
Hulk smash.
Saying big, huge. Okay.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Bill Bixby sounded a little like...
Exactly.
What's his name? Romney.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then off to San Francisco for two shows this weekend at the Orpheum Theater. It's all sold out, I believe, Saturday. A few more tickets for Friday. Austin, Texas, Saturday, November 12th. And then speaking of hometowns, my original hometown on the 19th of November.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Stephanie Miller, a.k.a. Sister Sleaze, is slinking her way back to upstate New York. That means you, Buffalo.
Homeward bound, I wish I was.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
On November 19th at Shea's Performing Arts Center, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming home, and she's bringing her sleazy siblings, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Whether you're coming from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, or anywhere else, just jump on the transit and come see Mama.
Yep.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Shea's Performing Arts Center on November 19th in Buffalo, New York. You can take the gal out of Buffalo, but you can't take Buffalo out of the gal.
Ouch, that sounds dirty. Okay.
Buffalo girls, won't you come out tonight?
All right, and sexyliberal.com for all the upcoming dates after that. Okay, in the meantime, we were talking about Occupy Jim, and I'm always a suspect of this, and we'd had him on the show. Democratic Congressman turned Bank of America executive Harold Ford warns Obama not to listen to Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah. Wow.
Not that he
has
a vested interest. He has joined Bank of America since losing his Senate race. He used his. He was on Meet the Press. He used the opportunity to offer President Obama some economic advice. It's all the same as Karl Rove offered him.
Yeah.
Stop talking all that populist.
Whatever.
So Harold
People aren't down with that.
It's turned out to be an Edsel.
Hey.
He suggested that Obama tone down his supposedly anti-business rhetoric.
Oh, God.
He dismissed the movement and told Obama and the Democratic Party to look beyond Occupy. Look beyond. The object is much in your mirror, whatever. It's Ford's world. A tax holiday bailout for super rich corporations like his own is in the best interest of the country.
Uh-huh.
That's really what's helping the banks more is what's really.
He's a job creator.
Yeah.
For himself.
Exactly. Kathy in California coming to Sexy Liberal this weekend in San Francisco. Hi, Kath.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
This is Kathy.
Yes.
I'm calling to give you a holler out. I'm going to be at your show on Saturday.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm bringing my lover of 31 years.
Oh, get your lover. Look how you say that. You make it sound so dirty.
Lover. It's a birthday on Friday, and we're taking a limo on Saturday, and we're going to be there with bells on and attitude attack.
With a limo. Oh, my God. Like a sexy liberal prom date or something.
Really?
Don't forget the wrist corsage.
I'm going to order that.
All right. You better get on that. All right. Thank
with
you,
bells
Kat.
On and nothing else because it's San Francisco.
Because it's San Francisco. Exactly.
And then it's legal to go around naked
yes.
there.
All right.
It shouldn't be for some people, but
as
it
long
is.
As you put a towel down on public transportation.
Oh, God, I love this story. 2 days after the New Hampshire-based staffer Michelle Bachmann's campaign resigned en masse, they're stealing Newt Gingrich's Staffs Act. The ex-aides released a statement affirming their departure and calling Bachmann's national campaign rude, unprofessional, dishonest, and at times cruel.
That's awesome.
Other than that, how'd you like the play, Mr. Slayton?
Her staff.
Wow.
Bachmann initially, of course, had denied it and suggested the story had been fed to the media by one of her opponent's campaigns.
Uh-huh.
They're so tricky like that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "We've made calls, and it's certainly not true." During I love this part. This part gets a little gossipy.
Oh?
During Bachmann's recent trip to New Hampshire, several incidents happened that concerned some members of Team
really?
New Hampshire. Those incidents will remain private, but they were serious enough for some members to depart the campaign.
Did they involve markets?
That's what I was going to say! the mind reels of what sort of incidents.
That, I think he's the cruel part. If you saw the way he was disciplining that corn dog in Iowa.
Maybe he disciplined some barbarians in Team New Hampshire offices. And that was not appreciated.
Oh, dear.
You just wonder who walked in on what. I'm just saying. I'm just asking. What incidents?
And what was cruel about it? That's where the mind reels.
Yeah.
Incidents. Mm-hmm. Certain incidents in the Bachman campaign.
Marcus, there is no safe word.
Marcus was being cruel in his discipline.
Yeah, probably he told him the safe word was Mizrahi, but then he's like, kidding! There is no safe word!
I think that does qualify as cruel.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And then I have to say, of all the bad stuff she said, this one, she told a woman in Winterset, Iowa, that her son, who currently receives health insurance through Medicaid, could rely on charities to meet his health care needs once Republicans repeal President Obama's health law.
Yeah. You know, charitable giving tends to go down when people don't have any freaking money. Yeah. When they don't have a job, for instance.
You're just saying that because you're too selfish to pay for someone's liver transplant. Mine. Okay.
We will always have people in this country through hardship, through no fault of their own, who won't be able to afford health care. That's just the way it is.
So they should just die.
What we get are charitable organizations or hospitals who have enough left over so that they can pick up the cost for the indigent who can't afford it. But what we have to do is we have to be a profitable nation that's growing so that we can pay for those people who can't afford it through no fault of their own.
In other words, get rid of Medicare.
Once the Obamacare is gone, this is what we have to do.
Okay. All right, Salvation Army Santas, you heard her. You better get some EMT training. Too sweet. Hurry up. Stop waving that kettle.
Yeah, so those quarters you put in the kettle outside of Target,
sure,
that's supposed to pay for health care.
Pay for someone's liver transplant.
Okay.
For
32 million people.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
How much change you got in there, Santa? All right.
Oh,
and mittens on the health care.
When government tries to tell us what kind of health care we can have, when government tells us that we have to join a union, whether we want to or not, then government has become too intrusive.
Was someone yelling?
Heckling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About Romney care.
And what did he say? I'm guessing he said, I'm speaking here. I'm speaking.
And he went down to touch him.
I'm speaking. I'll touch you. Don't. Yo, you mean when government tells us what kind of health care? You mean like when they model it on Romney care?
Yeah.
Like on, when that happens?
Exactly.
Mm. Okay. When there's a mandate, you mean like there wasn't Romney care?
Yeah.
Like that? Okay.
That was some other guy. That wasn't me.
Since when does the government tell you you have to join a... What is he talking about?
Yeah, he's lying there.
Okay. All right. Mittens again.
The American people recognize that it's time for real change in Washington. They recognize that President Obama has not done the job that they thought they elected him to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And this is what I mentioned earlier. Herman Cain has flipped... You know, he does not get enough credit for flip-flopping, Jim. What with Mitt Romney in the race? On abortion, on...
I'm the real flip-flopper.
Marriage equality.
Marriage should be protected at the federal level also. I used to believe that it could be just handled by the states. But there's a movement going on to basically take the teeth out of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. And that could cause an unraveling. So we do need some protection at the federal level because of that. And so, yes, I would support legislation that would say that it's between a man and a woman.
Huh. We need protection from all those.
They call him Flipper. Faster than lightning.
Oh, boy. The abortion one still has to be my favorite, though.
Yeah.
It should be a, you know, choice, not the president's choice, not the government's choice.
He changed position within 5 seconds.
It should be the woman's choice to carry the child for 999 months.
Exactly. That's the plan he offers.
Oy.
Oh, boy. Oh, wait a minute. We have a Rick Perry tax plan. They could have a choice between their current income tax rate or 20% flat tax.
Okay.
Awesome. Is that the whole plan? Is that it?
That's simple.
That is,
That's even simpler than 999.
Yeah, it sure is. He's going
to... But... If you look at it, you're going to have to, I think it just adds another decision that you're going to have to make to doing your taxes.
How would that even work?
Yeah, you would have to do your
taxes. So some Americans can choose to keep their current rate,
right.
And others can.
So you would have to do your taxes the normal way,
right.
And then compare it to 20% off
to see. Deductions.
Yeah, so that's just another thing you have to do at tax time.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Hmm. All right. Meanwhile, Perry bailed out his own failed agriculture jobs fund. Yeah, this is a problem when you start to run on your record as a job creator. Trademark, Republican Party. He has repeatedly pointed to a jobs fund that he administered as proof he knows how government can help the business sector. Mm. Perry's jobs fund, known as the Texas Enterprise Fund, mm-hmm. not only hasn't created the number of jobs Perry says it has, it was basically a slush fund for him to dole out money to companies that donated to his campaigns.
Huh.
As an agriculture commissioner in the 1990s, he oversaw a loan guarantee program meant to spur agribusiness. The program was so woefully mismanaged that it had to be bailed out by Perry himself when he assumed the governor's office.
Oh, no.
Over his 8 years as Texas's farmer-in-chief, he oversaw a loan guarantee program with so many defaults that the state had to stop guaranteeing bank loans to startups in agribusiness and eventually bailed out the program with taxpayer money.
You're welcome, America.
Hardly the only instance of his fiscal mismanagement under Perry's tenure. After all, he doubled Texas's debt and then balanced its budget through accounting gimmicks for the current budget cycle after using stimulus money last cycle. Wow. Stimulus money that he said.
What a tool.
Yeah, so that's it. Exactly. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by School of Lies. School of Lies is a funny mystery novel about a dysfunctional public school written by teacher Mickey Hoffman, available in paper, Kindle, and Nook.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, speaking of going to war, Leon Panetta talking about Iraq. Leon,
let me make clear to them and to anybody else that America will maintain a presence in that part of the world.
Yeah, did you hear that, Jim? In right-wing world, that's the latest rationale from somebody in right-wing world. We should have to stay in Iraq forever because of Iran now. That's the latest.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh?
What?
Well, yes, because Iran was rooting for us to get out of Iraq so that they could rush in.
Therefore, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's why Grumpy McSame is so cranky.
Mm-hmm.
We are now leaving Iraq completely, which is the number one priority of the Iranian of the Iranians.
Seriously? We need to stay in Iraq forever because of Iran?
But we strengthened the Iranians by making the yes. Shia ascendant, the Sunni, yes. were the enemies of Iran.
Yes.
And we put them in charge. We put the Shia in charge.
Yes.
Who are,
but so that, so right.
Dumpf,
so, yes.
as Steve Ooh. Allen would say.
You were lunging for
yeah,
the dump
was.
Button, weren't you? All right. All right. I don't want to give, you know, it's so... So little time, so awful, Rick Perry's record in Texas. He's talking about his job creation,
yeah.
fiscal, whatever. How about this one? Perry repeatedly cut child abuse prevention funding as Texas battled rising levels of
child abuse.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how you saw that coming. A disturbing new report reveals that child abuse in the U.S. has reached epidemic levels, with one child dying every 5 hours from abuse or neglect. Texas, one of the worst child abuse records in the country. Oh, they also have the most children uninsured, I think, as Mitt Romney helpfully pointed out.
America.
Uh-huh. In Texas last year, 10.2 of every 1,000 children suffered confirmed abuse or neglect. But as Governor Rick Perry has repeatedly slashed funding for child abuse prevention.
And that's the kind of leadership I will bring to the White House.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Child abuse prevention advocates warned the number of abused children would increase if Perry approved a 32% funding cut. Yeah, you see how that works? It's weird. It's kind of like just a straight line there. Cut several key prevention programs that have been proven to reduce abuse. They point out that increased abuse actually ends up costing Texas more in the coming years. That's the thing. They always make these things sound like, you know, bleeding heart liberal social programs. It ends up costing you more in the long run.
Spare the rod, spoil the child, I always say. Mm-hmm. That's what my dad taught me.
Mm-hmm. Did you need this? Or? The direct and indirect cost of child maltreatment in Texas surpassed $6.3 billion just in 2007.
Wow.
That's the thing, they don't think this all the way through. They just think it seems, you know, gay and French to help people.
Right.
Abused children are more likely to require above average levels of cash assistance, subsidized health care, house assistance, other forms of welfare when they grow up. A state council reports more at-risk youth go to jail, drop out of school. More families break down if there's no intervention. Yet self-proclaimed pro-family Republicans willing to put more children at risk to avoid raising taxes on cigarettes.
Yeah. I got a fix for that. You let them abused children grow up and be criminals, and then I'll kill them.
There you go. And then they'll just execute them. So,
How do you like that?
Child abuse is worse in states where the government is less involved in children's lives. You'll be shocked to know. For instance, children in Texas are four times more likely to be uninsured, four times more likely to be incarcerated, nearly twice as likely to die from abuse and neglect as children in Vermont, where that socialist Bernie Sanders. This is Senator. Weird. All right, Joe Lieberman deciding which Republican he wants to replace him.
It would have to be someone less scintillating and dynamic than me, because I would suffer by the comparison if it were someone who were not... I put myself to sleep.
Gawker writing, it does not seem like a question of whether Joe Lieberman will support a Republican, but which Republican he'll support.
Right.
Even though he's been, as you know, a loyal Democrat.
Right.
Independent.
Whatever.
He's been. He's been taking meetings with Linda McMahon. Is she going to go again?
The wrestling
executive? Didn't she annoy the bejesus out of voters there enough with her constant every 4 second ads? And former Representative Chris Shays. The Democratic field in Connecticut, though, this is a great relief. What if Lieberman had one of those occasional days where he wakes up on the liberal side of the bed and endorsed one of them? That would be the total kiss of death. Walker writing, two of the Democrats considering, one of them said, Senator Lieberman's endorsement would not be helpful. The other said, I'm not sure his support is relevant. Gawker writing, be quiet, fools. If Lieberman hears in the news that endorsing a Democrat would be the best way to screw over a Democrat, that's exactly what he'll do. That's true. Thank you, Gawker. Some people really hold a grudge. You know what I'm saying? That guy. Yikes. John in Texas on Rick Perry. Hey, John.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, before anybody starts believing Rick Perry and his tax plan that he's come up with, you better go look at what he did in Texas. He revamped our tax code back in 2003 when they took over the House here in Texas. And in the end, we're $27 billion in the hole. You guys better, what happens is that he shifted the tax burden onto the consumers and everybody else except the business in the industry. And look what happened. You know, we have got a lot of history on our side. Look to history, folks.
No, I hear you. That's the problem is, they get away with this stuff in the media, like, oh, he's a job creator, and then you shine a little flashlight on his record, and boy.
Potato bugs come out.
Yeah, ew. Floods. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce, author extraordinaire of Esquire.com, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, great. Now I smell like midlife crisis.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Why, it's Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Whee! Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, my tax is flat. How about you?
Now that you've started with that, what the hell is that about? So Rick Perry's like, me too, on the flat tax, but it's even more confusing.
It's slightly less flat than Steve Forbes's was. Steve Forbes's was 17%. Rick's is a little bit more buxom at 20%.
Right.
As of the rest of it, it's all a bunch of applause lines strung together to look like an economic plan.
And plus, I don't get the whole, you have a choice whether you keep your current income.
You can decide which confuses me, because we've heard so much about all this 43% of the people who don't pay any federal income tax,
right.
So they can still choose not to.
Right.
under this plan, or they can pay 20% of the pittance they're trying to live on government cheese. So that we can get a tax break for the Steve Forbes of the world. No, this is, you know, this is comic opera at its finest.
Yeah, it's it's hard to know even where to look at the Republican field and their latest ridiculous stances, isn't it? Whether it's Herman Cain.
The only place for the rest of them to go now is to go to the right of Rick Perry, and I can't imagine what's over there.
Yeah.
It's like walking in a swamp in the dark, you know? It's like, oh, this step is okay, and the next one is fine, and my God, is that a snapping turtle?
No,
it's Mitch McConnell.
Hey!
McConnell is a nice little box turtle. He's not a snapping turtle.
Yeah, snapping turtles are mean.
You would require to have some teeth, I suspect, if you were a snapping turtle.
Yeah, we were watching it the other night, and Lisa's like, he really does look just like a turtle. Oh, my God, it's a talking turtle.
Obviously, Lisa listens to the show a great deal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle! You have a firm grasp of the obvious, my friend.
Exactly. Charlie, you wrote a great piece on, I love you say, if we all live long enough, we may see the end of our conservative whining over the hand dealt to Robert Bork, who was once denied a seat on the Supreme Court of the U.S. because his judicial philosophy should be written on a bearskin with a pointed stick dipped in mud. But isn't it amazing how they call Democrats the party of victimhood, and like one after another, they're all such victims of unfairness.
And of course, who is at this moment the chief legal theorist for the Romney campaign?
Who's that?
Robert Bork.
I know it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about that.
It's a scraggly beard who will not die. I have a real objection to people who don't grow real beards, by the way. Grow a real beard. Come on, man up.
Like Charlie Pierce, exactly.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Michelle Bachmann, too, should grow a real beard.
I ran my... Is Marcus the best you can do?
Where is Marcus, by the way?
I don't know.
Marcus has vanished.
Well, and what?
He's disappointing himself.
Along with her whole entire New Hampshire campaign staff.
Yeah, that is really something. They all got together in the coffee shop in Nashua and said, screw this.
Yeah.
Let's go back to working at Sears.
Yeah. And I love that it was reported that certain incidents happened the last time that shall remain private. I'm like, oh, who walked on who in on who doing what?
Yeah.
That led to the entire exodus.
No, I think they all sat down in a room with the candidate and went, huh?
Hey? Nothing she says makes
How could she have one eye that looks at all of us at the same time?
Just that one, like that little thing you shake up, the little toy with the googly eyes.
Look at me, and it burned my arm.
But Charlie, to your point about the whining about
getting laughs from Chris Lavoie out there in Playa del Rey, by the
way. Hi there. No, I'm here. I'm here.
Really?
Yes.
They gave you a microphone?
I know, right?
Is it one of those big circular ones that says RKO on top?
But Charlie, going to your point of just them always claiming victimhood, whether it's Robert Bork or Anita Perry saying Rick Perry is being treated unfairly because he's Christian. What?
Yeah.
And now Herman Cain went and won better. Listen to this.
Find a perfect candidate or a perfect person who will not, at points in time in a presidential campaign, not make a misstatement, and I'll show you somebody that was hung on the cross 2,000 years ago.
He's Jesus now.
Wow. I don't think Jesus wants to run, number one, because as Sam Kinison used to say, he doesn't want to come back because of what happened the last time.
Yeah, exactly. And I love your final posting. I love Perry once again didn't see the birther question coming. And I love your, first of all, Parade magazine. Who gets himself in trouble in Parade magazine?
Right, I know.
Actually, I have to say this for the record. Parade magazine has improved a great deal under its new editor. And I probably should not have made them collateral damage in my mocking of Rick Perry, but these things happen sometimes in Blogsylvania.
Yeah.
But you watch him try to deal with his birther thing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the problem they're going to have with him getting up on a stage and trying to explain this tax plan?
Yeah. 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 Exactly. But
Cut, balance, and grow.
Well, what does he think? Like that he's going to reclaim some of the lost birther magic of Donald Trump? He's like, literally, really? I had dinner with Donald Trump. Now I'm not sure.
Yeah,
if the birth certificate's real.
I mean, I don't know that there still is a birther vote out there. Yeah. I think it was pretty much put to rest with the bones of the Donald's campaign.
Yeah.
But this is one of those moments where whoever's running his campaign must just be reaching for the second bottle of bourbon. I mean, this guy cannot go 20 steps without stepping on himself.
Yeah.
He did it this morning. He was on with Morning Joe on the day of his big,
you know, cut, balance, and grow, flatter than Twiggy tax cut thing, and he started mumbling about birthers again.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They all seem like desperation tactics, don't they? I mean, Herman Cain. My brain hurts from listening to him on abortion and same-sex marriage.
He's going blindly on though, and he's still leading the polls.
Is he? You mean nationally or
nationally? And I believe he's ahead in Iowa too. But the Republican Party in Iowa, at least people who go to the caucuses, you know, they actually knew the guy who was hung on a cross and had a perfect candidate.
Right.
They spoke to him 3 days ago over the butterbean salad and the Jello with the little marshmallows in it.
Do you think he actually has a reasonable chance of winning Iowa?
I certainly got a reasonable chance in Iowa because, I mean, Pat Robertson won in Iowa.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Right.
Now down the line, I have no idea. But I don't know what this. I don't know what this. You know, this. You know, St. Vitus dance on taxes here that Perry's doing today is going to do to the rest of the field. Because
right.
This is obviously a way to get around to the right of 999, which is now 909, by the way.
Right.
And is on its way to being 843 or
something.
823. Yeah.
Herman Cain will change his position on that too.
It's going to be the one after 909.
Thank you. I posted the video on the blog, actually, yeah. From the rooftop concert.
Yeah.
He's already starting to add qualifiers to his 999 plan. So the simplicity, you know, that people liked about it is already going out the window.
99, maybe.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I mean, if Rick Perry's plan is a lot of things, but it's easy to file, but it's not simple.
Right.
I mean, we're going to leave this deduction and that deduction. If you make so much less than this, you're going to make,
right.
You can do that. And by the way, you can throw the whole thing out and just do it the way you're doing it anyway. What? Who put that in?
Yeah.
Who put the optional part in?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, Charlie, you and I go at it now and again. You know, I'm obviously a happy, clappy Obama apologist.
Obama-bot.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I mean, this has almost gotten to the point of just, I don't even know how to say it, just sheer comedy in terms of that it does not matter what the president does. He can't do anything right. I mean, when Republicans are complimenting the French, you know something has gone awry. I mean, on Libya, it's 7 months. We spent $1 billion, not one American life lost, and Gaddafi is gone. And that's bad how?
But because the president doesn't have Gaddafi's head in his office. By the way, I think storing him in the freezer in the Quickie Mart was a great thing. I'd like a fudgicle and a Slurpee, and can I look at the dead dictator, please?
Can we get that at the Grove sometime? What's with the meat locker in a mall?
Ahmed going up to the rebel forces and saying, look, you got to get him out of my freezer because I got a shipment of Ben and Jerry's coming in today. We got no room. You're gonna have to bury him.
Yeah, it is.
Can we
weird.
Get him in there for one more day? No, like, you can't, man, because I got all this ice cream coming.
Yeah, that's a little weird. But the people bringing their kids and I just
to the Quickie Mart, right?
Yeah, to the Quickie Mart to look at Gaddafi in the meat locker. Yeah,
it's, all right.
Yeah, but I mean, I think even in terms of, again, we're, you know, a year out, but in terms of all the screaming from the base, right? I mean, it's like, he threw us under the bus on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Okay, it's done, you know. Oh, he did the wrong thing. And all right, Gaddafi's dead. We're never getting out of Iraq. All right, now we are.
I don't know how much of the base, you know, screamed about Libya. I mean, I think people, you know, I mean, there is a legitimate argument.
I'm just saying lately it reminds me of that campaign poster about chill the out. I got this.
Yeah, but, you know, I hope, as is the case in Iraq, I hope it works out. Because if it doesn't work out, he's going to get hammered.
Right, but this is a terrorist that killed, you know, Americans, right?
No question about it.
Michelle
Bachmann is saying the better the devil you know. Of course, it's not the devil she knows. It's the devil the Libyans know.
Right, but I mean, the thing is, they're all on tape being wrong, and the president was right. She's on tape saying, this is the wrong thing to go into Libya. Oh, he's going
to
fail.
It will be interesting to see if you can run as a national security war president in this time of economic, you know, hardship.
Right. Well, I mean
It's the one area where, you know, it's the one area where they can't really slow play him. And, you know, it's really the one area where the Constitution says they should be able to, but that's another argument for another day.
Well, but I also think, you know, again, Charlie, we're a year out, but, you know, you look at these polls we just talked about today, Americans largely agree with Occupy Wall Street, which is a lot of the things the president has been saying and trying to accomplish. I mean, I think that it's going to become clearer and clearer.
Certainly some of the things he's been trying to accomplish over the last month. Let's see, you know, how much of that energy gets, you know, gets translated into his campaign. I think the Occupy people have done a brilliant job in staying away from that sort of thing. I think it's been the most important thing about them is they've stayed out of the slanging match.
Right, but as Barney Frank said, where were you in the midterms?
Well,
if you want financial reform and Barney
makes a decent point there. But the fact is that this particular movement is not going to attach itself to the Democratic Party, and I think that's smart. I mean, I think the Democratic Party is smart to keep it not at arm's length, but to try to find. You know, I'm going to a meetup of Elizabeth Warren volunteers tonight.
Oh, great.
In Massachusetts. And if there's one person, you know, perfectly situated to catch this wave, it's her.
Yep. Charlie Pierce, as someone that has actually run my fingers through your beard in Boston, I agree with you. It is much, much nicer than Robert Bork's. It is. It really is. Oh, it's like, you know, it's like Santa. Okay. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com.
Oh, goodbye.
Who are you calling a hoe? All right. Bye, Charlie. See you next week. There it goes. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Is the president at the Tonight Show yet behind you? Look, is he there?
Wait a minute, there is a town car down there that's backing up. Hold on.
I think they probably sent a limo. Town car. All right.
No, it does look very official, though.
Is it a motorcade?
No, it's not a motorcade.
Yeah, we actually can see NBC in Burbank from our studio window.
Right.
And the president's taping the Tonight Show 9:30 Pacific.
9:30 Pacific.
Good luck to all of us, Jim, getting out of here. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm pretty sure this is going to be on thisiswhyweareatyourfat.com.
Okay.
338-pound burger available for $2,000.
Shoink.
Wow.
In a Detroit area restaurant.
Can I have a box, please?
Can I just to go? Can you strap it on the roof like one of Mitt Romney's dogs? The Detroit News reports Mally's Sports Bar and Grill in Southgate made the 338-pound absolutely ridiculous burger on Thursday. It's 3 foot high. It packs 540,000 calories. Takes 22 hours to cook. You know, I never really understand the why of these stories. Why do they make them?
You'd have to call ahead if you're going to be getting that. 22 hours to cook? I don't want to, Yeah, that's a lot of appetizers you want to eat, but waiting for that to come to the table.
For a lot of people to eat, but that's kind of gross. People eating all the same burger, right?
Especially if it's rare.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, you gnaw through one side and meet someone else coming from the other side. It's just kind of gross.
I just think
it depends on who you're gnawing with.
Although, if you're
suddenly
part of the...
I want to go to Umami Burger.
If you're part of the pothead majority, you may want...
What?
America's now a pothead majority. A record of 50% of Americans say marijuana should be legal. Everybody passed the Cheetos. Majority of Americans now support marijuana legalization. 50% up from 46% last year, according to a new Gallup poll. That's an all-time record.
I also heard that 50% of Americans support marijuana. What? Did you say that?
Yeah, I just said that.
I'm hungry.
Ooh. Let's cook the... How many pound burger was that? I don't know. 22 pounds.
No, more than 22 pounds, wasn't it?
I don't know. It's already in the dumpster here. You know what I mean.
It was a big burger.
That's what I was thinking. $2,000 burger.
Yeah.
Ah, right. Fill in your own joke here. I'm sure Sean Connery will have a comment. Daniel Craig growing a beard.
Yes, I've always said that about you. You should have a beard.
For this new Bond film.
Nancy.
He's reprising his role as 007 for the third time in Skyfall is the upcoming one.
Finally, it's work.
Well, so did Quantum of Solace, and that did pretty well.
A Quantum of Qualis.
This one's more on a budget, I'm told. I don't know, maybe lower, not as expensive gadgets.
MGM is going through some financial...
Just a couple of Bic, you know, lighters and stuff.
MGM's going through some financial difficulties, so they had to pare back the special effects on this.
So Bond driving a Carmen Ghia.
Yeah, and he keeps whipping stuff out. Is that it?
Bond be driving like a Mini Cooper.
It's just like a Bic lighter.
I have a Swiss Army knife.
What does it do? Does it do something cool?
He's driving a 1996 Mazda Miata.
I used to drive a Miata and a Carmen Ghia.
Did you?
Those are little chick cars.
Yeah, they are.
Those are boofta cars, aren't they, Sean Connery?
Yes, we boofta cars, what that is.
All right. What do you call it? Martha Stewart's a
Aston Martin DB9, not sure.
Yeah.
Lounge car.
I can't wait to see the new Bond gadgets. Probably just like... I don't know.
Be
like
on
rubber
MacGyver.
Bands and stuff. Yeah, like, what?
Dental floss. Yeah. An actual pen that does nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. What does it do?
It writes.
It just writes.
But if it runs out of ink, Bond, you replace the cartridge, you see, and it continues to write.
And then what? Oh, it just keeps writing. Okay.
That's incredibly
lame.
But
who can you kill with it? Well, nobody, but you can write. Martha Stewart's daughter wants to clear up. She knows she said that she grew up with a glue gun pointed at her head.
Mm-hmm.
She cleared up in today's show. The glue gun was merely a metaphor. She said there were no glue guns. I wish there had been. It would have been more fun. This part I love. She said there was never anything to eat at my house. There were ingredients, but no prepared food of any kind.
Oh.
Because unless there's a camera on, why would you actually
make something?
Cook anything? Yeah. So just all these like cooking show ingredients, it looks like, in her refrigerator. Martha was like, there's no camera. Why would I make
it? Lots of pictures of food.
Exactly. Oh, this is sad. Madonna has a homeless brother.
Oh, this is sad. I read about this.
Yeah. She doesn't care, apparently. This is from Gawker.
Hi, I'm Madonna.
Yeah. That was her comment. The emotion... Gawker writing, the most shocking thing in this story from the Michigan Messenger about the influx of homeless people in Traverse City isn't about people dying of frostbite under a bridge. It's the fact that Anthony Ciccone, how do you say her last name?
Ciccone.
Yeah.
Ciccone.
One of
Anthony.
Something.
Sounds Anthony. Like it'd be in Jersey Shore or something. Anthony.
One of Madonna's oldest brothers has been homeless for a year and a half.
Ooh. I think she could kick in some scratch.
A little
you
bit.
Know. She's got like $90 gajillion.
A little bit.
Maybe,
a little bit.
Get him a trailer.
Something. I know. And it's cold there.
Yeah.
All right. David Hasselhoff won't stop proposing to his girlfriend. That's not getting too annoying. Down on bended knee for hamburger.
I really,
in the kitchen
really,
floor.
Really want to marry you.
Oh,
jeez. Let's marry me.
He has vowed to keep proposing to Haley Roberts until she says yes. She's the 32-year-old Welsh beauty. He has proposed 4 times. They've only dated 8 months. He's posted details of his previous attempts to persuade her to marry him on Twitter. Maybe that's why, because he won't shut the hell up on Twitter.
Michael, take a hint. The answer is no.
He says he's already planning his next proposal. He said, you'll have to follow me on Twitter to see. Keep an eye on my Twitter page. Maybe that's it, is maybe that she would just like to be private and not a reality show. His previous attempts to convince her this does sound like a reality show. Include popping the question on a beach in a dressing room and when they were surrounded by sharks and while on safari.
What? But surrounded by sharks?
That's not the time to propose. That's the time to run or
romantic.
Swim.
That's not romantic. Okay. This is important news to me because I love Footloose. Kevin Bacon did not snub the new Footloose.
Oh, really?
His version filmed 27 years ago, of course, a cult favorite. Other actors like to pretend they couldn't be less interested in seeing remakes of their original hit movies. Kevin Bacon went to the theater, bought a ticket, saw the movie, loved it, immediately tweeted a congratulations to the young stars.
Oh.
Very nice. I know he's nice because I used to, you know, hang out in Central Park with him in his lab that can climb, you know, run up a tree. Remember I told you?
Yes.
Yeah. When I lived in New York, their dog used to run up. They had a black lab that ran straight up a tree. Him and Kira.
That's a skill.
Wow.
Just saying. We shared a dog sitter. That was my 1 degree of Kevin Bacon separation.
Alrighty then.
All right. Dog walker. That's what they call it in New York. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. SexyLiberal on Facebook. Some great new pictures up from L.A. Sexy Liberal this past weekend, and including pictures of voice DJ Jim Ward and Chris LaVoy,
yep,
producer extraordinaire, and Rebecca Taylor, who was surlier than usual and hilarious. All right. And the big show in San Francisco this coming weekend, and then go to SexyLiberal.com for all the upcoming dates. All right, speaking of spectacular entertainment, there was a film on HBO. It is, you can get it on demand now. There's a link up on StephanieMiller.com. It is called Hot Coffee, and the producer, director, and lawyer.
That's right.
She has a lot of slashes in her name. Susan Saladoff joins us now. Good morning, Suze.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, you know, and you're on Colbert, is it tonight?
Tonight, yes.
Ooh, and it's Hot Coffee is out on DVD, right? November 1st?
The DVDs come out November 1st. It's actually on HBO Go. Mm. It's off demand. That was on all summer. But the DVDs can be gotten on hotcoffeethemovie.com.
Okay, because I've been hearing a lot about this ever since you debuted at Sundance. Tell us the whole idea, because Hot Coffee, of course, refers to the famous McDonald's case where somebody got, you know, McDonald's coffee spilled on them and sued. Tell us where you got the idea.
Yeah, so, you know, I practiced law for 25 years, and I knew that over that time period, people had a really distorted view of our civil justice system, and they thought that there were all these frivolous lawsuits like the McDonald's coffee case. You know, a woman spills coffee on herself and sues McDonald's and wins millions of dollars. Ha, ha, ha.
Right.
Isn't that funny, and how ridiculous is our legal system?
Mm-hmm.
But what most people didn't know was that there was millions of dollars spent by large corporate interests through public relations campaigns to convince the public that the system is broken and that there are all these so-called frivolous lawsuits, so that people would be willing to vote against their own self-interests, vote for things like tort reform, which most people don't even know what it is, and yet when they finally, if they ever have something that happens to them, they find out real quick that it's not something that favors them but favors corporations.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the important thing, you know, as we go into this 2012 campaign cycle, that's so relevant, because you're right, they throw out those terms, frivolous lawsuits, every time, particularly on the right, and tort reform.
Yeah, and most people don't even understand what the terms mean, and most of these cases that they talk about, they're made up out of whole cloth. They don't even exist. And the case like the McDonald's case, when people see my film, they'll realize that it wasn't a frivolous lawsuit. This woman was severely injured. She had third-degree burns. The coffee was so hot that McDonald's knew no one could drink it, and they were selling it through the drive-thru, and all she wanted was the medical bills paid. The jury awarded a large sum, but it represented 2 days of coffee sales for McDonald's. And then the judge reduced the verdict dramatically, and then she's subject to a gag order, so can't really talk about it.
So, well, I mean, and that's the thing, is that, you know, again, they, you know, they throw out these terms, and sometimes they don't know the reality of these cases. And, you know, like you say, you're basically once again voting against your own self-interest, because, as you say, when it happens to you,
Never your loss. It's never your case that's frivolous. It's always the other person's case. But the movie has more than just the McDonald's case. The movie has four storylines, and each one represents a different way that we as Americans are giving up our rights to access the court system. And most of us don't have any idea or really care until it affects us personally.
Well, you know, I remember in the last election cycle with John Edwards, you know, they would use it as a dirty word, trial lawyer, you know, and, you know, yet you'd look at some of his cases, like, you know, the little girl, like, disemboweled by a pool drain, and, you know, you really think you shouldn't have the right to sue a company for that kind of negligence?
You know, this is a public relations campaign that was started many, many years ago, and millions of dollars was put into it, and they repeat these terms over and over again, like jackpot justice, frivolous lawsuit, greedy trial lawyer, lawsuit lottery. These were terms of art. They were wordsmiths to manipulate the public into believing that the system is broken, because if we think that the system is broken and we're willing to reform it, which most people think is a good thing until it affects them, what really happens
happens is that corporations and people and companies that make products that harm us or that dump millions of gallons of oil into our streams and pollute our waters, they are not held accountable because we can't sue them in the court of law anymore because they put all these restrictions up and then they get to make more money. Well, so it's really just like this Occupy movement, the 99 versus the 1%. You know, the 99, we're giving up our rights to help the 1% make more money.
Well, exactly. And the other thing that, you know, that you point out that I love because it reminds me of the Tea Party, that is totally an AstroTurf group. You know, that it is, you know, they basically were formed to, you know, to protect the big health insurance companies. And you talk about this citizens against lawsuit abuse. It gives the impression citizens are rallying for change when there's actually no citizens in these groups.
Exactly. These are groups. They're front groups, and they're set up by the public relations campaigns to pretend like there are citizens groups who are spontaneously outraged by these lawsuits when, in fact, there are no citizens, and they're just these groups that put, it's, you know, because of the Citizens United case that the Supreme Court ruled that corporations essentially can give unlimited amounts of money in campaigns. What they're doing is they're setting up these front groups and putting television commercials up in the guise of, like, you know, citizens for a stronger community or citizens for a safer or whatever, and there are no citizens in them. And people don't know that, but the message is repeated over and over and over again, and then people start to believe it.
Well, that's what they're good at. They're, you know, they're PR groups, obviously, right? You know, working on behalf of corporations.
Exactly. And so the film, one of the things that we're hoping, we just started actually this holiday giving plan for politicians and for candidates so that if people want to buy a copy of the DVD, because even these politicians who are talking about tort reform, most of them have no idea what it is. And so we're asking people if they want to send a copy to their candidate or their politician that they can go onto our website, and we have this holiday giving campaign. So maybe, you know, Rick Perry will get 100 or 500 copies of Hot Coffee on his desk, and maybe he'll watch it.
There you go. Suze, tell us about, you know, because I also think the other thing we always hear about is, oh, well, there has to be caps on these damages. These are ridiculous, these awards. Tell us about Lisa Gurley. She was 46 weeks pregnant with identical twins. I mean, because I think this is a perfect example of you know, what you're talking about with that.
So one of the major tort reform measures is what we call caps on damages, which exist in many, many, in fact, almost all of our states, which puts a one-size-fits-all limit on the amount of money that a person can get if they're seriously injured in a lawsuit or by a seriously injured in some way and they want to bring a lawsuit. And so we document the story of Colin and Connor Gurley. They're identical twin boys that were born to Lisa and Mike Gurley. And at birth, there was a birth injury, and Colin suffered severe brain injury. And so he has cerebral palsy. And in Nebraska, where this family lives, they have a total cap on all the money that you can get for medical bills, wage loss, pain and suffering for life. At the time, it was $1.25 million. And so they brought a lawsuit against the doctor. The doctor was found at fault for causing this brain injury, and the jury awarded $5.65 million. Unbeknownst to the jury, the judge had to reduce the verdict to $1.25 million because that was a total cap. And so instead of, after doctor's bills and legal bills, you know, Colin winds up with a few hundred thousand dollars. So who pays the difference between what his medical care to be needed for the rest of his life? It's we do.
The taxpayers. Yeah. I mean, that's what people don't get. I mean, I see here that an economist estimated Colin would need $6 million for a lifetime of care. Now the taxpayers pick up the difference. I mean, this is the argument we've been having with a lot of these Republicans that keep making this argument about cutting funding, and it ends up costing taxpayers more. And you know, I think we just did a story today about Rick Perry cutting, funding for child abuse programs. Well, it ends up costing taxpayers more.
Right. And the other thing that's so crazy is that if you put a cap on, what you're saying is that a legislator or, you know, politician who's sitting in an office somewhere who's never seen the person who's injured, doesn't know the facts of the case, is coming up with this maximum amount of money instead of trusting 12 people sitting on a jury, which, by the way, for Tea Partiers, is our Seventh Amendment to the Constitution, which is trial by jury. Like, they remember the Second Amendment, but they never remember the Seventh Amendment. You know, we trust juries to decide in death penalty cases whether someone should live or die, but we can't trust them to decide what a fair verdict should be in a damages situation,
Susan,
against a corporation.
Right. And how do you think this is going to play out in the 2012 elections? I know that, Rick Perry just gave a speech before the Value Voters Summit, and, you know, there was the applause line, stop the frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing that has to happen is that people have to see what the truth is. And, you know, I made this film for that purpose, and my plan is to get out into every state and hopefully even to some of these Occupy movements and show people the film, have them have house parties, let them show it to their legislators, because what we all need is the ammunition to fight against it, and the ammunition is the knowledge, the truth. And this film gives four different storylines, each one showing how tort reform is bad for us. It's good for corporations and for the one percenters, but it's not good for average folks.
Mm-hmm. You've been going out, obviously, even before conservative audiences. What has been the reaction? I mean, when they're fed these talking points for so long, has the film and you talking to them, have you felt like you've made progress?
Absolutely. It's remarkable. Most people say it's eye-opening, that they're shocked, that they believed the propaganda machine, and that, you know, they were the people who made fun of, you know, the lady who spilled coffee and sued McDonald's, and that they will never do it again. I mean, it is really making a difference, because the truth is, when people know the truth, then they get it. But when they're just fed the lies over and over again, then they believe those. So the response, even from conservative audiences, even from people who have been pro-tort reform supporters, when they actually see the film, all of a sudden they start thinking differently.
Well, and, you know, Suze, I think you're absolutely right. There is a through line there with, you know, politics in general in 2012, but with Occupy Wall Street as well. And let's face it, because there's a lot more of us in the 99%. Right, than the 1% of these corporations that they're trying to protect.
Right, but the 1% has the money to get the message out, and that's the problem. That's been the problem all these years, is that the 99%ers, the consumers, the victims, they don't have the money to have large public relations campaigns. And so people have only heard one side of the story. And so when people criticize me, because I am a lawyer and I tried cases for years, when they say, oh, well, you're only telling one side, I'm saying to them, look, if you're going to be asked to vote on anything, you should know both sides of the issue. I used to try cases, and when I would ask a jury to render a verdict, I'd say, you have to hear both sides of the issue. You can't just decide your verdict based on one side. For right. 25 years, we've only heard one side. So this movie is giving people at least the other side, and then you get to make your own minds up.
That's right. Well, you know, we just had our friend Mike Papantonio on a few days ago, and, you know, as you know, he does a lot of these class action lawsuits, but that's exactly the reason for those, against these giant drug companies. One person doesn't have the money or the power to go up against, you know, these giant drug companies when they're putting drugs out there they know to be harmful. It's situations like that, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and also things like, you know, the fishermen and the restaurateurs who lost all that business from the BP oil spill. You know, it's very difficult for each one of them to go after a BP individually, because look at the differential in resources. But yep. When they band together in a class action, but as you may know, in the recent, there was a recent case that the Supreme Court ruled on. It was called AT&T versus right. Concepcion. And they're basically trying to eliminate class actions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. The woman is Susan Saladoff, producer, director, lawyer, / superhero. And the movie is Hot Coffee, the HBO documentary award-winning film. Go to hotcoffeethemovie.com, and there's also a link up at stephaniemiller.com.
Yep, you can watch the trailer there, too.
Yeah, yep. It's awesome. Suze, thanks so much for your time, and keep
Stephanie.
Fighting that good fight.
I will. Okay, take care.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. There she goes. She's scrappy.
Yes, she is.
I like that in my lawyers. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, this is how
I've
we
been
do
doing
it.
It wrong.
Like that. No, you've been doing it like that. Wow. This is how we do it.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 25 minutes after the hour.
I've been doing it wrong the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly. I keep telling you this is how we do it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joel in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I hear all these criticisms of the 99% that they're just conducting class warfare. I can't tell you how tired I am of hearing that. Darn right it's class warfare. The rich folks started it.
Right.
Back
yeah,
in
right.
1981, Ronald Reagan takes off and starts breaking up unions. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the middle class just shrinks and shrinks
Joel,
and shrinks.
Joel, Warren Buffett said it. He said it is class warfare and my class won.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what this is all about, don't you think?
Absolutely. So if they're going to take the fight to us for, what is it now,
31 years. I think it's time we took it back.
Right. And they have to stop saying we're anti-capitalism. Nobody's it's like, you know, the rich paying their share fair is not share anti fair share. Excuse me,
yeah,
Joel.
Fair
I'm
share.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not, you know, that's not anti-capitalism, you know.
Right. When was this country strongest? When the unions were strong in the 50s and 60s, when the Republican president Eisenhower was building roads,
that's right,
investing in infrastructure. That's when this country was strongest. What's wrong with that?
Yep, absolutely. And I keep, you know how I hate to bring it back to
Stephanie Miller.
Well, yes, but I will if I must, because I'm just saying this is why Sexy Liberal is a perfect example of, we just broke $1 million in sales. The show, we are not anti-capitalism. However, we are giving money back.
$1 million.
Yes, but we're giving money back to great causes like Trevor Project and whatever. You know what I mean? It's just, it's about fairness, I mm-hmm. think, is what this movement is about.
You're supposed to enrich yourself at the expense of everyone else. Don't you get it?
That's why it's just driving the right wing's head is just exploding over the whole thing. It's the name of the show. The fact that it's successful, the fact that we're giving to liberal causes, the whole thing makes them back. That's what makes it even more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably, because, you know, as you know, I'm having a slow motion brain related event.
How's that going, by the way?
I don't really know. It's a little numbness, a little something. But
butterfly
anyway.
Butterfly still gnawing at your brain?
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, I quit the Lunesta a few days ago because I think the green
butterfly. Probably just as well you did that.
Yeah, I think the green butterfly was eating my brain. However, I am.
Maybe it laid eggs in your brain.
I am.
That's what it did.
He put creatures in our ears, chicken.
Don't alarm me any further.
A spider crawled into your ear and laid eggs.
Because my dad had a stroke, so don't alarm me any further, okay? Because there's something numbness happening.
I'm saying it's not a stroke.
Okay.
I'm saying it's spider eggs.
Has the chat room started a betting pool for where the rose is going to happen? Which sexy liberal stage I will actually collapse on? San Francisco's next weekend, so maybe not that soon. Let's look down the list. Let's see. I don't know. San Francisco, Austin. Oh, Buffalo in my hometown. That would be, the rose was in her hometown.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, if you don't have a ticket yet to Shays Performing Arts Center in Buffalo Saturday, November 19th, I would get a ticket now. She went back to her hometown, the Rose. That's where she had, that's where Bette Midler, you remember, had the, yeah.
She never saw that movie.
You
apparently it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to all, yeah. I love you, Buffalo. I'm so happy to be. Okay. Anyway, what was I talking about?
I have no idea.
I see, because I'm having a brain-related event. Oh, I would say otherwise I would quit the tour if it wasn't annoying the right wing so much. That's what keeps me going. That's, see? I brought it back. Despite my whatever
affliction.
I'm having. Donna in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I enjoyed your show. Whoop. Whoop. On Friday.
You went to Sexy Liberal Friday?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
See, a right winger was screwing the phone line just now, so no one could hear you say how much you enjoyed the Sexy Liberal Show.
Oh, I think that's happening. I totally agree with the writer, Attorney Saladoff, about the 99% that's bamboozled and then misled by the 1% to vote against our own interests.
Well, Donna, she makes the perfect point, because the 1% has the money to do the PR, to convince people, you know, of things that are often untrue. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Testing. They love every demographic. Colored people, broads, fairies, commies. Gosh, we've got to update these forms.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hey, Tom in New York.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
So, I love your show.
Thank you.
I wear a headphone and I listen to an AM radio, and I had the treasure today of just having a cross between two different radio stations. And I heard Glenn Beck saying, and he said it maybe three times in one sentence, that David Duke has come out in support of the Occupy Wall Street, and he's really pushing that message. And I think they had a call.
Have they moved on from Occupy Wall Street as anti-Semitic? They can't decide whether George Soros is behind it or it's anti-Semitic,
yeah.
But yeah, I see.
Right, right. They should call it the Prometheus Party because really we're just slaves to economic gods.
I see. So he's trying to distract from the fact that the Tea Party is obviously inherently racist and they had incredibly racist signs about Obama.
And why would David Duke do this other than being prompted by somebody to distract?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
And I still can't get over the fact that the right wing or Fox News is saying that both the communists and the Nazis support Occupy
sure.
Wall Street.
Communists and Nazis.
Yeah. They're the same.
And the Jew haters
liberals.
Like George Soros.
Yeah.
Liberals, commies, Nazis, same thing.
What?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
What the Fox? You know, I often predict what's going to be on Fox tonight.
What?
On What the Fox. I'm guessing because there'll be footage of scary black people.
Oh.
Julie writes, Fox won't be able to resist this. The president and other black people eating chicken and waffles.
Yeah, I saw
at Roscoe's here in Los Angeles. He's in L.A. today.
Mm-hmm. He's right next door right now, actually.
Yeah. Is he over taping his? No, he's not taping his Tonight Show yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This footage will be on. Either he, Julie's absolutely right. It's a black person place. Chicken and waffles.
I've been there. It's not entirely a black person place.
I'm just saying it'll be an opportunity for Fox News to use lots of...
I was there with them. We had just done a play, and we went out to eat.
It's really good on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's good.
There was someone at our table said, oh, waitress, what are greens?
No.
No.
Kale and stuff. Shut up. Just...
No, it's collard greens.
Collard
it's,
greens. I love them. They're my favorite.
Yeah. Okay. They're like root vegetable tops.
It's just Fox's way of just in case you...
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Just saying. Just one more thing. Wow, this story I just... first of all, Playboy is offering Lindsay Lohan money?
Yeah.
To show her freckled sacks?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Almost $1 million, and apparently Lindsay Lohan has said...
$1 million.
Really?
Yes.
Happy to say no to $1 million.
What's the first thing they call her? Fun sacks? What's the first thing they call her fun sacks?
Freckled.
Her freckled e-bags.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they say because Hugh Hefner can't remember what flavor of breakfast pudding he had this morning, let alone the fact that every pair of eyeballs on this planet has seen Lindsay Lohan's freckled...
yeah.
Sacks.
Sacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why they...
Right.
Thank
her.
You. Mm-hmm. All right. This is just a... You know what? Maybe I had to add something like this to Sexy Liberal. Jennifer Lopez broke down on stage.
That's easy for you to do.
I am this close already. It almost happened in L.A. Sexy Liberal. I went to introduce Lisa, my girlfriend, and she wasn't there. I was like, all right, well, she left me. All right, same old story. At least it's not public or anything. It was fine. She was there.
Yeah.
While performing in Connecticut over the weekend, Jennifer Lopez broke down on stage at the Mohegan Sun.
Did she fall on her butt at least?
No. Not, but she broke down as in crying.
Yeah, not physically broke down.
Okay.
No.
I was going to say.
This is a little weird. She launched into Until It Beats No More while dancers reenacted scenes with her and some of the men in her past.
Oh.
That's not a
Where's
good
some nostalgia
idea?
Music? Yeah, Lopez lookalike danced around with guys who looked a lot like her exes, P. Diddy, Chris Judd, and Ben Affleck.
Oh.
And then the final couple to appear danced much like Lopez and, what's his name? The one she, Mark.
Skeletor?
Yeah, Skeletor. When they danced on the American Idol in May, just weeks before they announced their split. After she was done, Lopez told the sold-out crowd, I took a trip down memory lane, and then started to cry as the crowd applauded. So, what is it? Superficial writing. So basically, a premenopausal, recently divorced woman relived every single one of her failed relationships and broke down crying. Oh, see, I could do that. It would be a long
That's
montage.
Entertainment. Do you want us to find dancers that look like
yes,
all of your exes?
To reenact my...
You really want us to do
my
that?
My horrific relationship.
Because we can.
Yeah, that's not for public consumption. And that is certainly not for a comedy show.
No, it is not.
No. This is a weird story. Did you hear this from Gawker? Did the Scientology police investigate South Park's creators?
Yeah. You kind of could see this coming.
An ex-Scientologist posted on his website contents of a Scientology pen document discussing an investigation into the private lives of South Park creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker conducted back in 2006, not long after they made an episode called Trapped in the Closet. I don't know what that referred to.
Referred to Tom Cruise.
What? I don't know what that referred to.
Oh, you want to get investigated now, too.
Oh, I'm sure they've already investigated me.
So they rooted through their garbage, Trey and Matt.
Yep. Mm.
Will Ferrell has won the nation's top humor prize in Washington, D.C. He's the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center.
Good for him. He deserves it.
Yeah, he does. As did Lily Tomlin when she won it. Even though she apparently didn't think she was funny enough to be a guest on panel at Sexy Liberal. And I had to convince her several times.
She was very funny, the way she was taking you to task with all of the language you were using.
Yes. She was being very parental with me. Oh, boy. That's what I told her. Just bring your big bag of Emmys and, I don't know, Grammys and whatever
just
else.
Just plop them down right there.
Just plop them down to make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
All right. George Michael wants to open the London Olympics. He said, I'd love to perform at the opening ceremony, but unfortunately nobody has asked me yet.
Well, maybe there's a reason.
I could ask him to perform in the bathroom near the Greek Theater where he did the last time.
I thought that was a bathroom in Beverly Hills.
I think it was in the Griffith Park near the Greek Theater. I can get him that gig.
All right.
I know some people.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
All right.
All right.
Well, nobody had to tell us this story. It's a story about how crazy Impressionists are.
What?
So this is really... He seems very mild-mannered, Daryl Hammond.
This was shocking.
I know. He seems very mild-mannered. He says in his autobiography that he had to down whole bottles of cognac to calm his nerves.
Well, so does Jim.
Well, and that's weird in the morning.
Cognac.
He wears
it's not
that
just
silk
for breakfast
jacket
anymore.
And he has a pipe and he drinks cognac. It's weird. To calm his nerves and quiet the disturbing images, when that failed to work, he'd cut himself with the bottles of my view.
Yeah.
In 1998, he says, during a particularly rough personal episode, he was brought from the NBC infirmary to a hospital in a straitjacket and failed to recognize his wife.
Wow.
By 2002, he was doing obscene amounts of cocaine. In 2009, after one stint in rehab, he had the brilliant idea that he should try crack and hung out in a Harlem crack house.
Wow. And he was on SNL that whole time.
Yeah.
He just makes Jim seem normal.
I know, right?
That is awesome. I love that. I love any Fox story, but Fox Business Network has been reminded to cover business once in a while.
Yeah. That's my big problem with Fox Business. They're just a mirror image of Fox News.
They're trying to be Foxy. They're trying to be Foxy regular network.
Yeah.
Yeah. The executive VP of Fox Business Network was forced to send a memo to his employees earlier this month reminding them to try to cover business once in a while. He said, I understand the temptation to imitate our sibling network in hopes of imitating its success, but we cannot. If we give the audience a choice between FNC and the almost FNC, they will choose FNC.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Yep.
Don't they have that British guy that always talks about...
Stuart Varney.
Stuart Varney. As an American, I find that these 99%ers are ruffians and... Scalawags.
He objects to the president's socialism as an American.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they also have Judge No Forehead, who doesn't talk business at all. All he does is talk about libertarian politics, and that has nothing to do with Fox Business Channel.
I've totally forgotten his original name. Oh,
Andrew Napolitano.
Napolitano, that's right. Yeah, I'd forgotten about him. All right. By the way, I got we have to replay. You got to give me a 16 again. Okay. Brian Kilmeade. It's just... I think they've actually done polling. Pretty much everyone in America and Iraq wants us to get out of Iraq.
Yeah.
So that's why they still have to hang on to this talk.
President Obama declared that all U.S. troops will be out of Iraq by year's end. But after failed negotiations with the Iraqi government to leave some military behind, this mean all our accomplishments could potentially be erased? 4,549 Americans have been killed in Iraq. Could, if this goes afoul, could their lives be wasted?
Don't you just smell the must on that talking point?
Yeah.
The mildew and the old, we can't, more people have to die before the other people's
so they will
sacrifice
not have died in vain.
Means anything, sure.
So we should be in Vietnam still, and Laos and Cambodia.
How do you refer to any completely unnecessary illegal war as a success in any way? Will all our success there?
Name one. Well, if you're talking about having... untold numbers of civilians killed,
yes. And 4,000-something Americans. And what did they say the final estimate's going to be? It could be up to $3 trillion, ultimately, this war.
Making the Shia the dominant group there instead of the Sunnis, who were the managerial class, and could have fixed Baghdad in a matter of months if we let
miss me yet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had their Foxborough, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters.
It was tragic, and it wasn't really our decision. In a sense, we're being booted out. Not so much by the Iraqis as by Iran.
Oh.
We should make no mistake. Iran won. This is a Super Bowl. Iraq really matters. But Obama made a campaign promise. The left has had a blind spot about Iraq's importance because it was Bush's war. Therefore, it was a bad war.
Yes.
And Iraq matters. Afghanistan doesn't. Iraq has the oil. It has a strategic location, location, location.
So it is about oil, after all.
Yeah, that's my takeaway from it.
That's what I was saying. They're saying the stuff out loud, Jim, that they were... It was more like the Tin Man earlier.
Look at all the oil there.
Oil war. And now they're like, what? I'm sorry, did you say...
Oil war.
Yeah, I said it. I said it, oil. All right, 45...
Operation Iraqi Liberation. Yeah. That's what the original name was.
Yeah, exactly. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Spooky.
I'm spooky. It is the Stephanie Miller
Show. Coming up on Halloween.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Go to sexyliberal.com. We got two big shows in San Francisco this weekend and a bunch of upcoming shows, including...
Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
What? Is she finally moving to the villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot and wet do you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe, Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie, the Flame of Florida.
Tickets are available at browardcenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season, and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you. By the way, some of the, thank you everybody, all the nice, Facebook and emails about the L.A. Sexy Liberal Show. A couple of sold-out shows here in L.A. And some of the proceeds went to Trevor Project.
Yep.
The nation's only 24-hour suicide hotline for gay and lesbian kids. And I almost on cue. So-called family groups attack suicide helpline for promoting gay lifestyle. Did you see this? Oh, boy. It's got to be the same people that hacked into Google Maps and said that our theater in L.A. was closed down permanently. Nice try, idiots! Didn't work. The American Family Association taking some time off from protecting children from Sweaty Balls ice cream.
Yeah.
And Florida Family Association are alleging the Trevor Project is recruiting teens and children to become gay.
Right.
Through their suicide prevention hotline.
Sure.
That's clever, isn't it?
Yeah. They run the suicide encouragement hotline.
Yeah, yes, sure. They call the kids and encourage.
Hey, you know, you should off yourself. That's what Jesus wants you to do.
You know,
I've
actually been in the call center. They really do amazing work. These are kids in these places like this, in these red areas where they feel like they're not going to survive either the day or the week or their childhood, you know?
What has the American Family Association done to prevent teen suicide?
I know.
That is just an evil organization. So it makes me so angry.
They're what else are they? They're reporting today. They're also encouraging followers to boycott Target for advertising on the Teen Nick show Degrassi, which airs PSAs for the Trevor Project. The group has provided a form email which reads, not only is Teen Nick affirming the homosexual and transgender lifestyle in the content of the program, it also includes promotions during Degrassi which lead America's youth toward not away from embracing these behaviors. Blah, 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 okay.
What has the American Family Association done for American families? Nothing. Absolutely
nothing.
Kept
them from becoming gay.
God.
Marco writes, Steph, I had mixed emotions about you coming out, but on the one hand, I'm saddened the LGBT community has lost a straight ally our fight for... not since the 80s. fight for equality, but on the other hand, I'm pleased we now have a new voice in the mainstream. You're welcome. You know who is one of our greatest straight allies? Rob Reiner, who did the Sexy Liberal panel with us on, I have to say, on Saturday and was amazing. He's led the fight for marriage equality here in, in California, and he's like that Frank Rich article I always talked about, Angels in America, the people that stepped forward that were brave in the early days of the AIDS crisis. And that's what we're going to need to get civil rights here in America. Brave, straight people. Like Rob Reiner, who were very handsomely endowed, from what I'm told. Very secure in their manhood.
It's so weird. I introduced myself to him backstage, and he knew who I was.
Of course
I'm
he
like,
did.
They, so let,
they bought
weird.
Tickets to the show. I'm like, how do you feel about buying a ticket to see you? No, you are really a pay-your-fair-share Warren Buffett type guy.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if he asked for a refund because he thought he sucked. You know what I mean? All right. By the way, let's do an entertaining. Speaking of entertainment, Jim, Republicans eating their own. Here is Karl Rove on Herman Cain.
Cain has had a number of misstatements. I mean, we've had abortion. He recently said he didn't understand what neoconservatives were when it came to foreign policy. The federal sales tax, the way he handled it in the debate, apples and oranges, and, you know, it is a federal sales tax, and he just simply wouldn't acknowledge it. And the whole effect of this is to not create an image, I think, of him as being a flip-flopper. I think it is to create an image of him as not being up to this task.
It's all apples and oranges. Crumpets and switchblades.
All right, so the president is going to be here. I'm going to be able to see him in like a half an hour over there at NBC. He's doing the taping the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
But he apparently, according to Steve Doocy, he's campaigning in a campaign year. Mm.
The president of the United States is going to be moving on to Nevada and to California as well. He's got his he's going to do a West Coast tour. Last week, that was not campaigning on that bus thing. That was not campaigning. This week, it is campaigning. Yeah. If Antonio Banderas, who's going to host one of these events, is watching, you know, it sounds like the president doesn't care for rich people. He's effectively launched a class warfare against people who make a lot of money.
That's clever. Class warfare. God. He hates rich people.
I don't know why he bothers to campaign, because according to Britt Hume, we've already had the election and Obama's already lost. Hmm.
This president is so vulnerable and so likely to lose that they can nominate just about anybody they want, short of possibly Ron Paul, and they'll win the election. So why not go for the most conservative candidate you can find?
Good idea.
Yes, go for it.
Maybe there's still time for someone even further to the right to get in. Come on, go.
Nominate Hitler. Come on, go ahead.
Have the courage of your convictions. All right. Oh, boy. Here's a don't you hate when this happens stack. Man loses prosthetic leg while skydiving. Don't you hate when that happens?
Why did he have it on when he was skydiving?
Well, because he... I don't know. Why would you take it off to skydive?
I don't know.
My charity in upstate New York. A skydiver in upstate New York is hoping someone will find his lost leg. He was skydiving when his leg... This is like Heather Mills on Dancing with the Stars, only, you know, however many... Yeah.
He lost his leg and it fell through
on somebody.
Through the roof of someone's house?
Now that would suck.
Buddy, leg just fell through the roof.
You know how he lost his leg originally?
Skydiving.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Let's go play with the threshing machine.
Yeah.
Isn't that how you lost your leg?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your point?
What's your point? Should I stop that? Somebody was talking about there was a lawsuit, a guy that lost his finger in a meat cutting machine.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the insurance guy has to come out to make it for the claim, and the insurance guy tried the machine, and he lost his finger also. The guy's claim was approved.
Mm. So then another insurance guy had to come out and test the machine, and he lost.
You're right. That is a dangerous machine. No! Okay. All right. Did I forget to tell you that this hour was brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting? My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. SexyLiberal on Facebook. Lots of new pictures going up every day from the LA show this past weekend. Get your tickets for upcoming shows. I'd like to thank executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, and we'll see you tomorrow for Sexy Liberal. Hal Sparks and Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.